Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports.
It's the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. I was 13 years old at the time, still indelibly etched in my mind. Our guest was 8 years old at the time and is, in fact, the daughter of Robert F. Kennedy. She is seventh in line in her family, and Bobby Kennedy was seventh in line in his generation, so it's kind of interesting. Carrie Kennedy is president of the RFK Human Rights Organization. She's honoring her dad next week when a new book is out, Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. Carrie Kennedy in conversation with heads of state, business leaders, influencers, and activists about her father's impact on their lives. Welcome, Carrie.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on.
Okay, it's our honor. Let me ask you first, you know, Robert F. Kennedy is such a myth at this point. You were only 8 years old. As a man and as a father, what do you remember?
Well, he was a great father. He was, it's the 1960s. He was not a Don Draper type of dad. He was completely present, as his dad was in his own life. And he... I just remember him being fun and full of sports, that we were always active with him, even if we weren't outside playing, which we were most of the time. He was at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, constantly asking us questions, getting us involved, talking to us about what was going on in his life and what was going on in the life of our country and our world.
I had not heard of the Ripples of Hope speech, which apparently was in South Africa. Tell folks briefly what that was.
He addressed the University of Cape Town, and he laid out, it's really an extraordinary speech, but it's called the Day of Affirmation speech, and he laid out his vision of Western democracy. And in it, he spoke about the capacity of one person to make a difference. And he says, few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can change a small portion of events. And in the culmination of all those acts will be written the history of this generation. And then he goes on to say, each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current that will sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance.
Wow.
So that's that image of all of us doing small acts together and tearing down those walls of oppression.
Tell folks a bit about what the documentary is about.
So the documentary was made by Charles Guggenheim. It won the Oscar. It's an extraordinary documentary. It's a short. It's about 35 minutes long, but it's about my father's life and his commitments. And it was actually originally being made as a kind of an infomercial for the campaign, and then after Daddy died, it was transformed into this documentary, which was shown at the Democratic Convention originally. But it's a wonderful, very moving film about his life.
You know, it's interesting to sort of speculate that if he had not been assassinated and had beat Nixon, and Nixon begat Reagan, we're at Trump now, very polarized politics. We would have obviously exited Vietnam if he'd been elected. Do you think history would have been a lot different?
Yes, very, very different. Well, first of all, we would have, as you say, left Vietnam 4 years earlier, all those lives saved by both of both Americans and Vietnamese. So that's the first thing. But I think, you know, my father's campaign was really focused on healing divisions in our country. We think it's very bad now, but you have to remember in 1968, we had 125 cities burning on fire, rioting, 125 cities. And this was not just for a night after Dr. King died. This was for weeks and weeks at a time. Philadelphia was under martial law for about 3 months. This was a time of tremendous violence in our country between white and black, young and old, rich and poor, huge divisions. And so he really sought to heal those. When Nixon came in, Nixon sought to exploit those divisions in order to gain power, and that's what his Southern strategy was, to peel off Democrats, racist white supremacist Democrats, and bring them over to the Republican Party. That was exploited by Nixon, more so by Reagan, and then, of course, that is the full politics of Donald Trump. So I think that we would have saved our country an awful lot of this division that you see today had my father been elected president. Now, and I think that he would have focused an enormous amount of his efforts on facing on poverty issues and on income inequality, because he saw that as a big area of division in our country.
I'm always fascinated by the what looks like an apparent transformation. You know, he had the image of being ruthless. He was on the Army-McCarthy hearings, strongly anti-communist, and then peace, civil rights, and idealist. Talk a little bit about that. In your book, Bono talks about it, too. Go ahead.
He did go through a change, and I think that my father was a rare person who really did change and grow. He didn't become more and more settled in his positions and in his ways, but he was always open. He had this extraordinary curiosity. He was always asking questions, probing. So he did change. That said, there is an image of him going from this ruthless right-wing kind of nut to this liberal lion. And that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
One of his aides said you could wrap up his life in the phrase, get your boot off his neck. And that's really so much of what my father did throughout his life. As a child, he stood up to bullies. As a college student, he was on the Harvard football team. He refused to go to away games unless everybody on the team could stay in the same hotel together. And there was an African-American on the Harvard football team at the time. And so he led the team to take that position. As a law student, he invited Ralph Bunche, who was the first African-American to win the Nobel Peace Prize, to speak at the University of Virginia Law School. Well, at the time, there was blacks couldn't speak in the same audience as whites. They had to be separated. And so my father changed that rule. That night, Ralph Bunche there was no hotel that would allow him to stay there. And so he ended up staying in my parents' small home. and they were they had Molotov cocktails and racist epithets thrown at them all night long in their small home. So, I mean, he was doing these things throughout his entire life. There is this image of the Army McCarthy hearings. Now, a lot of people don't know that the McCarthy hearings were different from the anti-communist, you know, red baiting that was going on generally across the country. So the Army McCarthy hearings were specifically focused on communist infiltrators in the U.S. government. So it had nothing to do with Hollywood, it had nothing to do with the rest of that.
You know, what people find interesting, too, this book, obviously, were in the 1960s. The issues that were important to him are very resonant today. Police brutality, gun violence, welcoming immigrants, disillusioned youth, injustice of our criminal justice system. So it's very interesting. Kerry, my favorite quote, which he took from Judge Bernard Shaw, is, "Some see things as they are and ask why. I see things that never were and ask why not." Do you have a favorite?
Well, I love that one. You know, I love what he said after Martin Luther King died in Indianapolis, which we should let us strive to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of the world. You know, because that has both sides of stopping the abuses, but also seeking out ways of kindness, of gentleness, of love, of peace, of patience, in our own lives and with one another.
And that book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope, Kerry Kennedy in Conversation with Heads of State, Business Leaders, Influencers, and Activists about her father's impact on their lives. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College Real Estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
A definitive new biography on RFK. Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Larry Tye's been an award-winning journalist at the Boston Globe and an even fellow at Harvard. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller Satchel and co-author with Kitty Dukakis of Shock. And the new book is Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. Welcome, Larry. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. I think it's just fascinating. You capture the transformation from a Joe McCarthy cold warrior into a passionate liberal icon, if you will. Where did this capacity for growth come from in your mind?
I think it came from growing up in a household where his father, Joe Kennedy, the patriarch of the Kennedy family, described him as the runt of his litter. And Bobby, from the beginning, had to prove himself and was determined to prove himself worthy of his father and of the legacy. And that meant growing and changing and learning in ways that nobody had expected and in ways that history didn't quite appreciate. Most people, if they remember Bobby Kennedy, they remember him in his latter passionate liberal phase, but not at what he started out as, which was a conservative cold warrior.
What do you since so much has been written about him, what do you think is the most fascinating thing you uncovered? Was it that ability to transform, or what else?
It was his early days with Joe McCarthy, the idea that Bobby's mentor in his first real job out of law school was the witch-hunting Joe McCarthy is counterintuitive. There was the way that he played an extraordinary role during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but in his official rendition of that, in the book that he wrote called 13 Days, which was the first insider account of what happened in the crisis, Bobby fudged his role during the first 6 or 7 days of that crisis. He made himself out to be a middle-of-the-road guy calling for the blockade that proved to be the way out of the crisis, when in fact, in the early days of the crisis, he was calling for an air attack against Cuba, which might have been catastrophic. There were ways that he fudged a lot of his record, especially in the first half of his career, fudged it in a way that it took us 50 years to sort out what he had really done.
Yeah, that was fascinating, particularly on the Cuban Missile Crisis. Let's talk now, how does he contrast, because he's a very different personality than JFK, how close were they, and talk about their differences, even though they're brothers.
They were extraordinarily close. They didn't start out as close, that basically Bobby was the classic younger brother who JFK had no particular use for in the early days. And it wasn't until in the 1940s, at the insistence of their dad, they took a trip together across Asia. And it was when Jack Kennedy was a young congressman, and Bobby Kennedy essentially saved his life. Jack had developed a very serious illness, ended up in Okinawa, had a temperature of 106, and it was Bobby who sat at his bedside and helped nurse him back to health. He cared about Jack and had his back in a way that few people did. And that continued in the days when Jack ran for Senate and Bobby ran his campaign. when he ran for president and Bobby ran his campaign, and when he served in the White House and Bobby was his attorney general, and the closest thing we have ever seen to a co-president. But in trying to understand how the two of them were different, I'd like to talk about the fact that Joe Kennedy, the father, had a dream for his sons that each of them successively would become the president. Rose Kennedy had a much simpler notion of what she wanted of her boys, and it was that one of them, and only one of them, might someday make the church, the Catholic Church that she was so devoted to, their vocation. And had Jack gone into the church, I think he would have been the Pope, because that was the kind of guy Jack Kennedy was.
Fascinating.
He learned best at the grassroots, a very different kind of guy than Jack Kennedy, and somebody who I think would have become president had he lived in 1968 and would have been a very different president than his brother.
Let's talk about the relationship with LBJ. What was Bobby's real relationship with him and the pick of him as VP?
So there were four people in the world that Bobby Kennedy despised. Three of them with some great justification. One was a guy named Roy Cohn, the protege of Joe McCarthy, This arrogant young lawyer who started out as Joe McCarthy's protege and ended up in later years as Donald Trump's tutor. He hated Jimmy Hoffa, the seemingly corrupt leader of the Teamsters Union, who Bobby went after with a vengeance. He hated J. Edgar Hoover, the autocratic head of the FBI. And the one who he hated maybe most of all was Lyndon Johnson. He didn't want Jack to pick him as his vice president, although in the end he understood that Johnson politically would help carry the South for his brother, and Bobby would have done anything for his brother, so he went along with that choice. But when Johnson became vice president, Bobby did everything he could to undermine him. Lyndon Johnson had a long memory, and when Lyndon Johnson became president, he did anything in his power to undermine Bobby Kennedy.
The relationship with Jackie, there are rumors as well as that he got her through the tragedy. How about that one?
Sure. So Jackie was probably the one person in the world who most mourned the death of John Kennedy. And along with Bobby, Jackie was in desolate state after Jack's assassination in 1963. And the two of them consoled one another to the point where it was maybe the one time in her life where Ethel Kennedy eventually became jealous.
68, revolutionary kind of year, and right now we're in a complete partisan divide. Would you think Bobby would have beaten Nixon? And two, would he have wanted Rudy Giuliani, Bill O'Reilly, Karl Rove? I knew Giuliani. I didn't know the other two guys were originally big Bobby supporters. Would he have wanted that kind of support?
So the first question is, I think that he would have easily beaten Richard Nixon, and I base that on two things. One is the fact that Hubert Humphrey, the Democratic nominee that year, came within a whisker of beating Nixon, and that was after violence in Chicago at the Democratic Convention and a divided party. I think Bobby would have united the party. I think there would have not been violence in Chicago if Bobby had been the nominee. I think the ticket would have been Kennedy and Humphrey. And the person in America who best understood Richard Nixon's vulnerabilities was Bobby Kennedy, who 8 years before had run his brother Jack's successful campaign against Nixon. And if you had had a united party and Bobby Kennedy as the standard bearer, I think he would have beat Nixon easily. And I think what would have happened then is Bobby would have welcomed the support of all the conservative, white, Donald Trump kind of voters who would have been with Bobby because they remembered him in his early conservative incarnation, the Joe McCarthy protege, Bobby Kennedy. And he would have welcomed also the chance to build bridges, and the kinds of bridges that in 2017 terms would have been uniting angry Donald Trump whites with a Hillary Clinton kind of coalition of minorities and liberals. And I think that would have been not just a winning coalition, but it would have been one that could have healed the kinds of wounds that we had in 68 and that we still have in 2017.
Wow, that's fascinating. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You can go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, or listen over the internet and access all of our prior shows on podcast. Next with Larry, we'll look into Bobby from McCarthyism to 1960.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym, my gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill. Pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Call to receive a free DVD and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,000 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpas today at 800-956-7183 for your free DVD and brochure. That's 800-956-7183. ThermoSpas, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7183 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Biz Talk Radio.
Larry Tye's got a new book out, Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. We're going to talk about the presidency now. And I want to talk first about Cuba, but starting at the Bay of Pigs, because Bobby seemed to have this Cuban portfolio, as you described. That was a complete failure. And the assassination attempts over the few years seemed to be so totally harebrained.
Yes. So let's start for a second with the Bay of Pigs. Your listeners may remember that after Castro had taken power, America, starting out with Dwight Eisenhower and actually seeing it come to fruition with Jack Kennedy, helped finance a secret army of Cubans, of Cuban exiles, to go back and try to take over the island by staging an invasion at the Bay of Pigs. And it was a disaster. The Cubans that weren't killed were captured, and America basically was exposed as having been behind this invasion. And Bobby Kennedy saw that as an affront to his brother and took it personally. And he helped, over the next year after the Bay of Pigs, launch something called Operation Mongoose. And what that was essentially a secret war to try to displace Castro and maybe to assassinate him. And it was sabotaging everything from his crops to launching the CIA-sponsored people in various harebrained assassination plots. It was a failure, but what it did was touch off fears among Castro and his supporters in Moscow to try to ensure that Castro would be protected. And so Khrushchev, the leader of the Soviet Union, installed missiles in Cuba. He did it secretly. America found out what he was doing. That led to the great standoff at the Cuban Missile Crisis. And again, Bobby was beside his brother during that whole tense 13 days, initially pushing him to launch airstrikes against Castro, eventually going along with JFK's plan for a blockade and rallying support for the blockade. And that was an extraordinary episode in terms of the whole war against Castro. It became an obsession for the Kennedy brothers, and it ended not just in a failure for them, but in the closest thing the world has ever come to a nuclear confrontation in those 13 days in October of 1962.
All right. Civil rights, would you call that the greatest legacy? Old Miss, integration, Alabama, taking on George Wallace. In fact, where do you put civil rights in his legacy?
I put it as one of his great examples of a learning curve. Bobby starts out in 1960, when he's named as Attorney General, understanding very little about what was going on in the civil rights movement. And in the early days, what he cared most about was that guys like the Freedom Riders, the people who were trying to integrate interstate transportation and were getting their heads bashed in as they went to Anniston, Alabama, and Birmingham and Montgomery, Alabama. Bobby, in those days, was trying to get those civil rights demonstrators to back off so that they wouldn't embarrass Jack Kennedy. By the end of the Kennedy administration, Bobby was the greatest friend the civil rights movement had, and he was supporting with troops the demonstrators, the attempt to integrate the University of Mississippi. The riots there were quelled because Bobby Kennedy stepped in effectively and with enormous force. And by the end, Martin Luther King, who had started out having faith in Bobby Kennedy with little reason for that faith, by the end, Martin Luther King understood that Bobby Kennedy was the best friend the movement ever had in the U.S. government.
Is this another example of learning, of sort of transforming over time? Vietnam, the Kennedy struck me as being very interested in counterinsurgency there and everything. And where was Bobby on Vietnam?
So Bobby was, along with his brother Jack, a huge supporter of America playing a role in standing up to the communists in North Vietnam. He basically promised that America would be there as long as the South Vietnamese were willing to fight. people he was so closely associated with counterinsurgency that some people wrongly concluded that he invented the term. And yet, by the time he became a U.S. senator in 1964, he was beginning to have a change of heart. He saw that we were not winning that war, that we had little chance to win it, and that maybe we weren't on the right side. And by 1966, he did something very unusual for a U.S. senator. He stood up in the Senate and said, mea culpa, we were wrong. My brother and I helped get us into Vietnam, and we've got to get us out. And that was just one more point of confrontation with Lyndon Johnson, who was a staunch supporter of the war in Vietnam, and Bobby became his greatest critic.
Interesting, because you talk about counterinsurgency right so early there. LBJ fought a more conventional war, which was not successful. Okay, the assassination now, Dallas, November 22nd. What was Bobby's reaction? And then I'm interested in, did he have guilt because of his Cuba portfolio and mafia portfolio?
Great. So his reaction was twofold. For the first month after the assassination, Bobby helped rally his family. In the early days, he told his brother Ted, you will tell our parents what just happened. He told his sister Eunice Shriver, you and your husband Sergeant Shriver will help organize the funeral. The family was devastated, and Bobby was the glue. His dad, Joe Kennedy, had had a stroke, and he had named Bobby as the official head of the Klan to take over after him, and Bobby played that role brilliantly. He also helped the country hold it together. They had lost their young president, who had promised new frontiers ahead, and everywhere you looked, at the funeral, at pictures taken with him holding the hands of Jackie Kennedy and John Kennedy, it was Bobby who was rallying America to support the new president, the guy he hated, Lyndon Johnson, and to hold it together. But at the end of that month after the assassination, the country and the family were basically putting their lives back together, and Bobby was devastated. And Bobby went through from that moment till the October or so of 1964, he went through what 50 years later Ethel describes as a serious clinical depression. He had lost his brother. He had lost his best friend. He had lost his whole sense of personal and professional purpose. And it wasn't until it looked like he could lose the campaign he was waging for senator from New York that Bobby finally pulled himself together quickly enough to win that race for the Senate and to give himself a new sense of direction. But I think for the rest of his life, he lived with a sense of guilt. Mm-hmm. He had a sense that a hornet's nest that he had stirred up, whether it was by waging a secret war against Castro or going after organized crime or maybe going after Teamster leader Jimmy Hoffa, he always wondered whether that is what led to his brother's assassination. And he was convinced the only way he was ever going to get to the truth of who killed his brother was if he became president and could actually control the levers of investigation of the government.
He did not cooperate, though, with the Warren Commission, you report.
So he was one of the only people, along with Jackie, who was essential that the Warren Commission didn't interview. I'm not sure that he ever read the report, and I know he never trusted any findings that were going to come from an LBJ-appointed commission like the Warren one.
He's now senator. He's in the 68 campaign. The Indiana speech after the Martin Luther King assassination really sticks out to me.
So let me set a little bit of that scene. Bobby Kennedy is campaigning in the first contested primary for him in Indiana. He flies in on a day in April of 1968 to Indianapolis, and he's greeted at the airport by the then young mayor of Indianapolis, who went on to become a U.S. senator, named Richard Lugar. And Lugar says, Martin Luther King has been shot and killed. Bobby, you were planning to give a speech tonight in the middle of the black ghetto, and I'm telling you, you can't go there. You can't go there because it could cause a riot, and you might not come out alive. And Bobby dutifully listens to the mayor and ignores his advice, goes into the ghetto, and throws away all the notes that his staffers have given him, jumps up on the back of a flatbed pickup truck, and for the next 5 minutes gives what may have been the most impassioned speech that a white politician has ever delivered in black America. He asks people to understand that he feels the pain of their loss of Martin Luther King because 5 years before he had lost his brother to an assassin's bullet. And something extraordinary happened that night. Number one, Indianapolis was the only major city in America with an enormous black population that didn't riot that night. And it didn't riot because of the speech given by Bobby Kennedy calling for people to be peaceful. And number two, he went into the ghetto to embrace the black community for its loss of Martin Luther King. And instead, that community that night embraced him for the loss of Jack Kennedy. And from that night until the end of his campaign and the end of his life, I can say, I think, without any hyperbole, that Bobby Kennedy was the single most popular white man in black America.
Boy, that description gave me chills. We'll be back for our final national segment, The Assassination and Legacy of RFK.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Attention! Are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Biz Talk Radio.
RFK biographer Larry Tye, our last national segment. Take us through the RFK assassination. There's stuff in the book that I never knew about that he actually spoke after he'd been shot. Go ahead.
Sure. So Bobby has just won that night in June 1968 the critical California primary. It's a primary that I think would have catapulted him to the nomination. It was after he had lost the primary, the first time a Kennedy had ever lost an election in Oregon. He had to win in California. He did. He's up on the podium giving an incredibly dramatic acceptance speech, and the speech ends with the words, "On to Chicago," which is where the convention was going to be held and where he was planning to go the next day and be endorsed for president by the powerful big city mayor, Richard Daley. He steps off the podium and walks through the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel. Not at his side for the first time in that campaign was his bodyguard, the ex-FBI agent Bill Berry. And Berry, at Bobby's direction, had stayed on the podium to help a pregnant Ethel Kennedy down from the podium. So no bodyguard, Bobby's walking through the kitchen, and Sirhan Sirhan, a Palestinian activist, shoots him several times and kills him. But while he is still conscious, Bobby basically is asking about whether everybody else is okay, because he knew that other people had been shot as well. And at his moment, you know, when he is barely living, he's asking about other people. It was an extraordinary moment. It was an extraordinary tragedy at a moment when Bobby looked like he was going to be this great hope who was going to be catapulted to the nomination, and it was one more tragedy for a Kennedy family that had lost not just Jack Kennedy, but had lost Bobby's older sister, Kathleen, in a horrible plane crash, and had lost the oldest of all the Kennedy kids, Joe Kennedy Jr., in a crash of a plane during World War II when he was on a heroic bombing mission over France.
I was going to get to this a little bit later, but quickly, he also lost Rosemary Kennedy, in a sense. How did that impact him?
So Rosemary was his older sister who had what may have been mental retardation, but I think may have been some other disability like a severe form of autism. Rosemary was a bit of an embarrassment to Joe Kennedy, and Joe had what in those days looked like it could be a promising procedure done on Rosemary, which was a lobotomy, actually removing a piece of her brain It left her severely disabled. Joe Kennedy shuttled her off to a convent in Wisconsin where he paid nuns a whole lot of money to take care of her and keep her out of the limelight for the rest of her life so she wouldn't be an embarrassment to Jack or any of the other Kennedys. And for the rest of their lives, Rosemary's siblings, including Bobby, made mental retardation and mental illness one of their major causes, to the point where Eunice Shriver Kennedy founded the Special Olympics.
All right. Legacy time. How would the country have been different? You mentioned this in the first segment, if he had been elected president.
So I think in the first 5 minutes of his presidency, whereas his brother Jack was very cautious, Bobby would have given us an incredibly strong civil rights bill. He would have helped launch a withdrawal of American troops from Vietnam. He would have helped heal racial breaches and other breaches in American society. And I think we would have not just been different back in 1968 had we had Bobby Kennedy instead of Richard Nixon. We'd be different today because he would have started redressing a lot of the divisions in American society that were incredibly apparent in last year's election.
This is probably unfair, but can I infer that you think if JFK had lived and RFK had lived, RFK may have been a more impactful presidency?
Absolutely more impactful than JFK would have been, because he would have been more passionate and more courageous and gotten more done much quicker.
Now, is Bobby kind of a contradiction? You described the very puritanical, but he was somewhat of a womanizer. He sort of covered up JFK's. How do you put wrapper around the personality, the person?
So I look at the roots from which he sprung, and I think that having as your role model Joe Kennedy, who had a famous affair with Gloria Swanson, who had lots of other women in his life besides Rose Kennedy, I think that Bobby, what I can say about Bobby in terms of his personal and romantic life is that he was the most sanctimonious and the most faithful of any of the Kennedy boys, which on the one hand left a lot of room, but on the other hand, I think he really did try, and I think his marriage with Ethel was extraordinary.
Who were his heroes, quickly, too? I'm interested in that.
So Bobby Kennedy's heroes were a number of U.S. senators whom your listeners wouldn't recognize, but all of whom exercised profiles and courage quietly that Bobby really took to heart. And I think that his heroes were people quite different than Jack's and who had the highest standards, not just of ethics, but of understanding practical politics and of how to get things done. And Bobby understood the rough and tumble of politics, but he also understood the noble purposes, like civil rights, like ending wars, that would have made him an extraordinary president.
Now, of course, he never was president, so how do you think the verdict of history will come down on him?
So I hope the verdict of history will look at the fact that he was one of the most effective U.S. senators ever, having served just 4 years. And I think the verdict of history will also be one of great unmet but potential that today continues to inspire people, ranging from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. So I think Bobby Kennedy's legacy I can summarize in two words. He was the kind of tough liberal that progressives still dream about, or if your listeners are of a more conservative persuasion, he was the kind of tender conservative that gave conservatism a good name.
A fascinating and very quick hour with Larry Tye on his new book. We'll finish here with a clip from Ted Kennedy's eulogy in Bobby's name.
My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in depth beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it.
Thanks to Larry Tye. That book again, Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Larry. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,